stop by and give you a little update on what's going on. Now, some of you don't have a clue as to who I am, but there's others of you that know exactly who I am. And let's be clear on one thing. I know who you are. I spend as much time as I can with most of you. And here's the part that should make you a little uncomfortable. I spent a lot of time with your children. And thanks to some of you, they don't even know what to look out for. Sure, there's times I kind of wish I did the whole horns, pitchfork, and red cape thing, but you know, that would make it too easy for you guys. You see, the great thing for me is that I don't look like anything. I can look like just about everything. I don't have to be here. Some of the best work I do with you people is up here. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm successful, I live a good life, my family's happy, you don't have me. Well, guess what? I can take you down in more ways than you understand. I have one goal, and that's to keep you away from God. And if I can make you miserable in the process, well, bonus for me. And for those of you that don't understand the problem that I have with our Creator, read the book. It's all in there. Now, I want you to think of all the places you've seen me in the past week. TV, newspaper, radio, movies, the internet. The internet, wow. Wow, I love that place. Do you know that I have over 420 million pages of porn on that thing? And it does almost $5 billion in revenue a year and growing. Thanks in part to many of you. Let me let you in on a little secret. And I don't mind either. You know why I don't mind? Because most of you will forget everything that was said in this service by the time you walk out those back doors. Are you ready for this? All you have to do is choose to avoid me. You want to know the best thing God ever did for me was to give you the ability to choose? You see, you can't not choose. And here's the greatest thing about it. By not choosing him, you automatically choose me. Now, some of you have figured out how to keep me away, and quite frankly, there's no mystery to it. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. But most of you choose to allow me free reign in your life. You know, there's that word again, choose. I have drugs, porn, infidelity, greed, lust, pride, slander, and the list goes on and on and on. But the one thing I do not have is the ability to offer you freedom. You know, to see Jesus suffer on that cross was one of the greatest moments of my life. Then when he was with me, the burning and the torture that he felt was at my hands. And I loved it. I loved every second of his torture. But you know what I couldn't stop thinking of? I couldn't stop thinking about why he was there. During that time, I could only think of one thing. That when his torment was over, it meant that all of humanity, every one of you, would have the chance for an eternal life of peace. And all you would have to do is simply choose. You know, I know how this is going to end. I know what's in store for me. I will be condemned to an eternal hell, but until that day, I will do everything in my power to unleash that hell on this earth. And as God, as my witness, if you even allow me the smallest corner of your life, I will not stop until I destroy you. And until you cry for mercy, in Christ's sake, I will not let you go. When the service is over, I will be waiting. I'll be waiting for some of you at work, at school, or at home. You know, I'll even see some of you in the car outside. Just remember, it's either me or him. Who do you choose?
I want to speak a message to you this morning that's simply entitled, Choose Life, Choose Christ. John chapter 10, verse number 10 goes like this, where Jesus said the thief comes only, somebody say only. The thief comes only, this is his only reason to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's no secret. In fact, it's very much a reality that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every person in this room, you face challenges and choices every day. In fact, every day that you get up, you make a choice as to who you're going to serve. You choose it, you walk it out, you live it out by your actions, by your words, by the things that you're involved in. And life is filled with challenges, and every day is a choice. It's just a part of our nature. It's just a part of our DNA. It's the way God made us as we were created by God. And the Bible declares that God breathed into man, and man became what? A living soul. What is a soul? You're probably thinking, you know, somebody asked you, man, what is a soul? You know, you say, I'm concerned about your soul. What is a soul? Well, it's quite easy. It's quite easy. A soul is a combination of the manner in which you were created after the image of God. Genesis tells us we were created in his image and his likeness. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you have gray hair and a beard, because guess what? God doesn't have gray hair and a beard. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so to say that we are created after his image and his likeness means that we're created with the three basic proponents of a personality. And that is, number one, a mind. Number two, a will. You have the right to choose. You have volition. You have the right to choose. And you make a choice every day. And then on the end of that, you have emotions. You have mind, you have a will, and you have emotions. And you and I have to choose. And the history of humanity bears this truth out, that we became a living soul and we have mind, will, and emotions. The history of humanity, as found in the Bible, bears this truth out. Because you see, that's what the Bible is. It's a record of God's contact with humanity and how he created humanity. And it's a record of how humanity responds to God. That's really what the Bible is, from Genesis to Revelation. And it's a story, a redemptive story, of how God redeemed fallen humanity. And history bears it out, even in the life of Joshua, leading the children of Israel. He was successor to Moses. And Joshua 24, verses 14 to 16 says this, that Joshua says to them, now fear the Lord and serve him how? With all your heart, with all faithfulness. And throw away the gods your ancestors worship. Because you see, the children of Israel had a common pattern in their life. And I'm afraid that the church today has a common pattern in its life. We go from up and down and up and down and up and down. Why can't we just be up? Why can't we just be in? Why are we in and out? He says, throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, the Bible says, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. God reminds them, listen, you're living in a land that you didn't fight for. You know, they had to go in and possess the land, but listen, God gave them the ability to overtake their enemies. He was really doing the fighting. And then the people answered. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You see, they knew that God had delivered them supernaturally from Egyptian slavery. Study the book. God had brought them out of slavery with the Egyptians, and they knew that they were feasting upon and living in a land of abundance. And they were, as Joshua said, listen, you are drinking from wells, help me here, that you didn't dig. Come on, somebody. You're drinking from wells you didn't dig. Listen, we are a people of God who are blessed tremendously. We're blessed immensely. God has blessed us. And I ask you, what do you do with this blessing? Look at your checkbook. See how you spend your money. See where your heart is, because where your heart is where your treasure is. And if you got a long list in your checkbook of places that you've been and things that you've purchased and you just can't get enough and places that you've been, oh, we got to get out of town. We got to go. We've got to go. We've got to go. We got to go, 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 go. Everybody's on the go. But what happened to this day of holiness, this consecrated day that we set apart called Sunday, a day of worship? What happened to the Sabbath? People now will just say, well, you know what? I'll say to people all the time, hey, man, I miss you. But Pastor, I'll just be honest with you. I just had to have a me day. Every day is a me day. Every day is a me day. Because you've been given the choice. You can get up and you can have part of a day. You can have an afternoon. You can have an evening. You can do the things that you want to do. But what about just worshiping God? What about collectively coming together? You see, here, it's really every day is a day of worship. But today's just a collective gathering where we come together and be inspired, where we come together and be equipped, where we come together and be challenged from the Word of God. Not just hear the latest news. You can get all that you want on your own and on your phone. You're here to hear the Word of God. You're here to be challenged. Joshua recognizes these people's choices. Joshua recognizes these people's behaviors, and he challenges them, and he said, listen, choose you this day who you're going to serve. The same is true for you and me. We can err to go with our sinful nature, or we can walk in redemptive power through the cross and the blood of Jesus. That's what we can choose. We know that we're living in a land that God has blessed us with, and we know that we're living a life that He has afforded us, and we drink from an abundance of things that God has really made provision for us in our lives. Think about it. We've traveled the earth. We've traveled the world. We've been to other countries. We go on vacations. We have places that we go, and we see His beauty. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth displays His power. And so many times we get caught up in just having fun rather than giving God glory and honor. And we can honor Him with our lives every day. We can get up and we can say, God, here I am. And it should shake the devil up when you get out of bed, because you're going out on a mission, and that is to be the salt and the light as Jesus has called us to be. We have to choose this every day. It's far deeper than just a decision that you make because you felt conviction and were moved to tears and you said, I don't want to go to hell. It's deeper than a decision. Because James comes back and tells us what? Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Sometimes I think the church at large has done the body of believers a tremendous disservice by, we think that we, you know, all we had to do is just go up and shake a preacher's hand and go down in the waters of baptism, and then we're just saved forever in eternity. Well, you know what? That's a wonderful thing. All you had to do is just do one thing, make a decision. But the Bible bears it out that you need to walk this thing out. You need to walk this thing out. You need to walk your salvation out with fear and trembling, with godly respect. Christ established His kingdom on earth, and He built it upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And with Himself, and Christ Jesus was what? The cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. Paul is telling the Ephesian believers, welcome to the kingdom. You are kingdom citizens. You're part of the kingdom of God. Look at what he says. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building, he's talking about the whole body, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too, look at what it says here. You're what? You're being built. Can I tell you something? You're not built yet. You're being built. You're a process. You have not fulfilled the destiny that God assigned upon your life before you were even a thought. You are not finished yet. God wants you to work for Him and serve Him and honor Him all the days of your life, and with every breath that you breathe. God wants you to honor His life. Let your bodies be what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your reasonable service. One translation says this is your spiritual act of what? Worship. This is what God expects of us. God wants to live inside of you. God wants to lead you. He wants to govern your life. He wants you to choose Christ so that your choices in this life will be godly choices, will be good choices. You can't just go with what seems good to you. The Lord spoke to us early in the service. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. There's so many people that think they're on the right path. But guess what? They're going to be surprised. You can't just choose what's natural for you. I had a tremendous discussion this week with some ministers on salvation and the challenges that seem to be taking place today in the body of Christ, where churches, listen to me, beloved, churches have moved and decided and voted and stamped their approval on ordaining homosexuals and transgenders to do the work of the ministry. Where have we come to? Where have we come to in this life where a life of perversion is now promoted to a place of a representative of God's kingdom, where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that's not going to happen. People like this who choose, and he gives a great classic sin list. And just when you think you're not on it, read the list. Because if you're just a gossip or you're just a slander and you just continue to gossip and you just continue to slander, then you too will be just like the rest of them. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I think we've cheapened grace in the church today. And Paul said, listen, God forbid. A lot of people live their lives like, well, you know, I'm under grace. Yes, we are under grace. But grace does not become a license for you to just live the way you want to live. You say, well, God loves me. Yes, he does love you. He loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for you, and he wants you to live for him. And we've created new ways. The little video clip was a powerful clip. We've created very, very keen, smart, simple ways of bringing hell into our own lives every day. All we got to do is position our finger in the right place. 420 million pages of pornography are available on the internet today. 420 million pages. $5 billion of income annually to an industry that is destroying young people's lives, destroying marriages that have been established for years because people are hooked. I read a statistic the other day, just this past week actually, that said a very large percentage of ministers are addicted to pornography. Did you hear what I said? A very large percentage of ministers. And just when you hear the lady say, well, that's just a man thing. No, it's not. Women are into pornography today. We have created ways in which to violate the known laws of God. We've created all kinds of ways. And we have to remember that it is a choice. It's a choice every day of our life. We can choose what is natural or choose what is expected or choose what the peer pressure brings upon you. But you're not called to choose what is natural. You're called to choose what is supernatural. Because when Christ died on the cross, he died for your sinful nature. And when you confess your sins and you allow him to come in and cleanse you, he makes you a new creation. Paul says, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old man has gone, the new man has come, and I'm to live my life every day walking out this newfound relationship with Christ. Amen. Friends, this is the gospel. When you accept him, you choose life over death. When you accept him, you choose righteousness over unrighteousness. When you accept Christ, you choose Christ, not the evil one. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said to the church at Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But what is it that living? It is Christ that is living in me. The life I now live, I live in this body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died on the cross and gave himself for me. That's the life I want. Choose to live. I choose to live this life. I'm amazed at people. I'm amazed at Christians who parade their sin on the internet, on Facebook and social media, who parade their ungodliness for other people to see. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm not going to stand here and give you examples. Who are you talking about? I'm not going to stand here and give you examples. Look at your own page. Look at your friends. Look at your friends who are self-engrossed and take pictures of themselves every day and show the world their bosom. They just say, look at this. It's true. It's true. And then they turn around and give you the backside. And look at the comments that are beneath it. Think about it. They just take you down trails and tell you how they're relaxing and what they're doing to relieve their stress. Time to get my drink on. Go ahead, get your drink on. What are you going to do when you stand before a righteous God? What are you going to do when you stand before a holy God? Or are you going to say, wait a minute, Lord, this is stressful. Let me get my drink on. What are you going to say? Listen, I'm not here to bring condemnation today, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I'm asking the church of the living God to wake up and smell the cross of Christ. Wake up and understand that God wants to move in these days, and He wants a holy church. He wants a righteous people who are not afraid of the gospel, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, people get in accidents and get in trouble and get to where death is a threat, then everybody wants to get spiritual. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the body, I have to choose, because I'm a soul. Don't miss this. I have a mind, I have will, and I have emotions. And the devil will play, where does he play? In your mind. He'll play with your what? Your emotions. And then you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Over and over and over and over and over again, the apostles of the New Testament spoke to their people, and they speak to us because this is the word of God for the people of God. They speak to us about keeping our lives what? Focused in Christ. Amen. That's what they speak to us about. That's what the New Testament is made up of. Living epistles that were written by men who made the choice to forsake everything and follow Christ. And they give us an example, page after page after page, of what it means to follow Christ. That's why Peter, this tremendous example, who had experience in failure. Think about it. He's given the opportunity to stand up for Christ, but what does he say? I don't know him. He warms his hands by the fire. I don't know who you're talking about. Enough to make a chicken crow. Because that's what was prophesied, and that's what he did. Because he denied Christ. How many times do we deny Christ? Man, I remember when I first started serving the Lord. I remember being on the fence. I remember being ashamed. I had embraced the Pentecostal church, and I remember, man, that's a sacrifice. Because our church was lively in those days. Our church had gone the distance in those days. Our church in those days had fallen down on their face and cried out for revival from heaven on high. We would meet at the church in the evening and pray for the service coming up at 7 o'clock. 2 hours early we were. And now, no matter what you say, folk will walk in any old kind of way. Any old kind of way. And we were just praying for revival. We were just praying for a move of the Holy Spirit. And today, unless you have great food, nice drinks, few prizes. What's in it for me? You can hardly draw a crowd.
Amen. Amen.
It gives you the reality of where we are. That's why Peter, who is well versed with failure, Peter says, I want you to be alert. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I want you to be alert and be of what? A sober mind. Why? He goes on to tell us, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's speaking metaphorically here. He's looking for someone to devour. Well, let's just look at it in the context. It's only 11 verses. And I don't preach as long as I used to anyway. It's only 11 verses. To the elders. Look at what he says here. To the elders. I underlined that because guess who he's speaking to first. Speaking to preacher first. Speaking to bishop first. Speaking to apostle first. Speaking to the ones who are doing the teaching first. To the elders among you. I appeal to you as a what? A fellow elder. Peter says, I'm one of you. So I'm not asking you to do something that I've not been called to do myself. I want you to understand, and I want you to be a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share. You'll get to share in the glory that's revealed. He says, I want you to be shepherds of God's flock. You know what he's calling for elders and teachers, preachers, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, youth pastors. He's calling for anybody engaged in the work of the ministry. He says, man, I want you to feed the people the truth. I want you to be a shepherd of God's flock. That is under your care. I want you to watch over them. Pastor, why are you speaking what you're speaking today? Because the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart, and I'm doing my best to watch over you. One day I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to give an account of every sermon I've ever preached. I'm going to give an account of every word I've ever spoken. I'm going to not only give an account of the words that I've spoken, I'm going to give an account of the life that was behind the mouth that talked about it. And guess what? So are you. Because if we read on down in this passage, and we will, because it's only 11 verses, you'll discover that he speaks to the people who are more responsible first. Let me talk to the elders. Let me talk to the bishops. Let me talk to the apostles. People are so eager today to call themselves something in that category. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm bishop so-and-so. They're evangelists and bishops and apostles, and ain't nobody following them. See? They got a little old place somewhere where 8 or 10 people show up, and all of a sudden they're a flamed apostle. What have you raised up? What price have you paid? What have you done with the gospel? But at least they're happy. At least they're happy. And he says, listen, just I want you to do this. I want you to understand more than anything, more than even being called that, I want you to feed the flock of God. Not because you must, or not because you're willing and as God wants you to be, and not doing it because they're going to give you a check. But I want you to do it because you are eager to serve. And I don't want you to lord over those entrusted to you. You know, some preachers have control problems. We've got some people, some preachers that have led people down paths because they are into control and shepherding movements and signing your stuff over to them and all this kind of stuff. I've heard it all. Let me help you with your finances, you know. And then next thing you know, somebody's taking advantage of somebody. He says, not lording over those entrusted to you, but doing what? Being an example. Being a godly example to who? To the flock. Verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you're going to get your crown. Okay? You're going to get paid. And guess what? You're going to get it paid in finances that will never fade away. Because there is an eternal reward, Peter says here. In the same way. Now we shift gears. Somebody say shift the gears. Now we're leaving those who are the elders And this word elder is not really talking about age and old and young. He says, now let me appeal to those who are younger, those who are of a lesser state, those who are not elders, those who are not bishops, those who are not apostles, those who are just a part of the Bible study, those who are part of the church, those other Christians. Submit yourselves to those elders, those bishops, those apostles, those pastors, those teachers. Submit yourself to them, all of you. Walk in humility to them and toward one another. Why? Because God opposes proud people, and he shows favor to people who will humbly submit themselves. Amen. That's why, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with showing respect for your pastor. Nothing wrong at all. There's nothing wrong with showing honor to your pastor. Nothing wrong at all. Because God loves when people walk in that humility. And listen, the pastor's got a choice when you show honor to him. He can get big-headed and puffed up and say, well, I deserve it. I deserve it. Or he can say, you know, thank you, that's kind of you. He says, you need to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Because if you're going to get elevated or lifted up, he's going to do that in the right time. Okay. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven prepared for you. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. You're going to get paid. Amen. And he says, in the meantime, verse number 7, I know life is frustrating. I know it's filled with stress. I know you got to take the edge off. Here's what I want you to do. Cast all your cares on me. Why? Because I care for you. This is the imagery of a garbage truck. To cast means you back up to the trash pile, and the guy says, come on back, come on back, come on back, come on back. You've said that before. Come on back, come on back. And then he says, you can raise it up, and you can allow all the trash, all the garbage, all the stress, all the anxiety to slide off of you. And on to him. Why? Because he cares for you. And then verse 8, he says, listen, I want you to be alert. I want you to be alert. What does that word mean? It means to be collected in your spirit. And if you're not engaged into the things of the Spirit, if you're not connected to the things of the Spirit, if you're not praying and talking to the Lord every day, it's hard for you to be collected in your spirit. He says, I want you to be collected in your spirit. I want you to be alert. And I want you to be of a sober mind. I can relate to what it means to be not sober, because I've been there. I can remember in my foolish days, I can remember having increments of time, literally all night, where I couldn't tell you where I was, who I was with, or what I did, because I was not sober. Now, here's the word here that he says, I want you to have a what kind of mind? A sober mind. I don't want your mind to be intoxicated from the things of the world. I don't want your mind to be ruined by the cares of this life. I don't want your mind to be drunk on the internet. I don't want your mind to be filled with all kinds of stuff. I want you to have a sober mind. Why? Because your enemy, your adversary, the devil. What is the word for devil here? I looked it up. The word for devil here is slanderer. Because you're slanderer. Your accuser. He's prowling around looking for some blame he can put on you. You're a liar. You're a cheater. You're an adulterer. You're a fornicator. You're a molester. You're a predator. You're a deceiver. He's looking for some term he can put on your life. And who's he talking to? He's talking about Christians. So that's why, you remember what the video said? The guy said in his devilish voice, you just give him one little corner. Man, if you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile. So if you give him an area of your life that he can get a loophole in, then he can set you up to accuse you and slander your Christian testimony. Wow, what a dangerous life we live. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He says in verse 9, you'll study this in the book of James here in the next few weeks. Resist him. What does it mean to resist the devil? It means to oppose him, to stand against all that he stands for. And I want you to stand firm in your faith. Why? Because you know that the family of believers, everybody else in the body of Christ, everybody else in the church, and throughout the world, they're all undergoing the same kind of accusations and slander and sufferings and trials and hardships and tribulations and pressures of this thing we call life. They're all going through it. And finally, thank God we get here. And the God of all grace. Thank you, Lord. The God of all grace. The God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Comma. After you've suffered a while, because guess what? You're going to suffer some. You're going to be accused. Keep it in the context. You're going to be accused. They're going to lie about you. They're going to tell you. They're going to tell a different story than what you know to be true. They're going to talk about you bad. He says, after a while, and you suffered, he's going to bring just tremendous restoration to you. And all of this will cause you to do what? Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And after Paul told the church at Corinth, I said, listen, the apostles are telling every church this. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. He's telling every church this. You know what you need to do? Be strong, stand firm, stand faith. And after you've done everything you could to stand, stand therefore with your loins girded about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. He tells the church, that's what the New Testament is about. He's telling the church, stand firm in the faith. He says, to him be the power forever and ever. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I pray unto the Lord. I said, God, why this message? Why this message, Lord? Why this word? Why choose Christ, choose life? God, I'm speaking to the church. I'm speaking to all the Christians. And he allowed me to look at the New Testament and say, that's what I was doing with the whole New Testament, Wallace. I was calling for Christians to stand firm in their faith. And here we are today with a house full of Christians. And listen, some of you may be doing well. I hope many, many, many of you are doing well in your walk with God, but some of you may be dabbling into things that you know full well. Because, not because I say so, but because when you dabble, when you mess with, when you play with, when you entertain, when you touch, when you, whatever, put all the words in there you want to, when you move into those places, the Holy Spirit is quick to come and say, you know that's wrong. You know that's not good. But somehow you struggle. You struggle. And listen, let me just tell you one thing. Don't you for one instance allow the devil to freeze you up at this point in the service as Richard comes to the keyboard. Don't you allow him to say, well, you know what? He's unpacked it out there today. He's done throwing a word out there. I ain't going to the altar because everybody's going to know I got sin in my life. Don't you freeze up on me. Don't you freeze up on him. Because here's the reality of it all. He loved you enough. He loved you enough to ring your doorbell. He loved you enough to knock on your door and say, can I come in? Can we talk? Can we walk together? Can we fellowship together? Can I cleanse your heart of unrighteousness? Can I put some blood on that thing? Can I wash you? Can I cleanse you? I'll be the first to say, listen, There have been seasons of my life where there's been challenge. There's been challenge in my thought life. There's been challenge of things that come out of my mouth. There's been challenge of things that, you know what, I know I shouldn't be thinking that way. So we are without excuse. The church that God is looking for is a clean church.
Amen.
I didn't say perfect, but it has to have a heart that desires the righteousness of Christ. See? There's times, I love this, there's times when, you know, my wife and I don't watch a lot of TV. We got our little things we like to watch. I'm a fan of Shark Tank. I like Undercover Boss. I like to cry when they get happy. Somebody gets $25,000, I just like to cry. He pays somebody's college tuition or gives them a new car, I like to cry. You know, I like a few things on TV. Sometimes my wife and I will say, well, let's just find a movie to watch. Yeah, that's a good idea. We've got a little time here. We find a movie. And I love it when we start watching the movie. And either she or me, one will speak up and say, man, we got to turn this. We got to turn this. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We got to turn this. Why do we have to turn this? Because our enemy, like a roaring lion, would really like for me to enjoy this. He would like for me to just really have a good time listening to this so that he could blemish my heart and my character and my standards of righteousness. Listen, it's just by nature, you got enough bad character to deal with. You don't need the TV to add to it. By nature, because we're all just a piece of work. And God loves you, man. God loves you. And if you're struggling here today, please, 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 if you're struggling in an area in your life, please stand to your feet and come to this altar. Let someone have the wondrous opportunity just to lay hands on you and pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you.